Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, the 22nd of December. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. Check it out on the internet, the website of American Free Press at AmericanFreePress.net. And check out the Barnes Review website at BarnesReview.com. That's B-A-R-N-E-S, Review.com. Barn, like a barn in the country with an E at the end, BarnesReview.com. The Barnes Review is a bi-monthly history publication. I write for it periodically, and I highly recommend it because if you don't believe what's happening in our world today, you need to catch up and find out what's happened in history, how you've been lied to. And we have been lied to time and time again, ladies and gentlemen. This Christmas season is bittersweet in many respects. Bitter in the sense that there are so many people in this country suffering because of the economy and because of these ongoing needless wars abroad, all brought to us courtesy of George W. Bush and his kosher conservative handlers, whom some refer to as the neoconservatives. How many million people out of work? How many million more people will be out of work? How many people have lost their pensions? How many people have lost their life savings? How many American soldiers have been butchered in Iraq? How many widows and orphans are there as a consequence of these needless wars? How many soldiers are crippled for life? How many Iraqi men, women, and children? Let's not forget the Afghans, too. How many of these people whose lives have been disrupted, whose countries have been destroyed? All courtesy of the struggling U.S. taxpayers who can barely afford to pay their mortgages and put their kids through school. But no, we can finance luxury homes in Israel, which, thanks to U.S. foreign aid and thanks to the money extorted from the government of Germany over the issue of the Holocaust, all these untold billions of dollars make it possible for this little country, which one of my critics once said was no more the size than the state of Massachusetts and yet is one of the most powerful and wealthy countries on the face of the planet. Thanks again, not to Israeli ingenuity, but thanks to welfare handouts and extortion money. Yeah. Merry Christmas, huh? Not a Merry Christmas for a lot of people. And those of us who do have things to be thankful for can be happy. But at this time of year, we need to think about what's happened during the past year and prepare to make the next year better. Washington Times gave a Christmas present to its Republican supporters and the people that worship at the altar of George W. Bush today. Their headline, Bush, Cheney comforted troops privately, met thousands of war injured and kin out of the spotlight. People say, why would you do that, the president said. And the answer is, this is my duty. The president is commander-in-chief, but the president is often comforter-in-chief as well. It is my duty to try to comfort as best I humanly can a loved one who is in anguish. Well, Georgie, you shouldn't have sent them off to fight these needless wars in the first place. Rather than praising Bush and Cheney, ladies and gentlemen, we should be putting them on trial as the mass murderers and war criminals that they are. And if they're convicted, the best Christmas present for America and the world would be to see these men, if duly convicted, stretched at the end of a rope, as has been done to war criminals in the past. Let's do it democratically. If they are tried and convicted, ladies and gentlemen, let them pay a mighty price, just as they've made us all pay a mighty price in our national blood and treasure. Sorry if I upset you Republicans out there, but it has to be said.
K Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here at republicbroadcasting.org, coming to you from Washington, where we have had one of the coldest, windiest days I've seen in a long, long time. Well, I picked up a copy of the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs today, and I was shocked to see a headline on the front cover and turned quickly to the story. My old friend, the late Dr. Alfred Lilienthal. Dr. Lilienthal died in October. It's the first notice I've seen of it. To the best of my knowledge, neither the Washington Post nor the Washington Times, nor, I might mention, the New York Times, and I read all three of them on a pretty regular daily basis. Sometimes I miss an issue or two, but Dr. Lilienthal's obituary, to the best of my knowledge, did not appear there, and this was the first I learned of it. He was 94 years old. He was an outspoken American-born Jewish critic of Zionism, had a law degree from Cornell University. His criticisms of the State of Israel and of Zionism went back as early as 1948 when he wrote a fantastic article for Reader's Digest entitled Israel's Flag is Not Mine. Over the years, then, Dr. Lilienthal wrote numerous books about the Middle East, What Price Israel, The Other Side of the Coin, yet another one, the name of it escapes me. But finally, he compiled all of it together with some additional information in a massive volume entitled The Zionist Connection, which is really the book on the subject. He later did a second edition called The Zionist Connection 2. great guy, Dr. Lilienthal. I had dinner with him numerous times over the years at his home, at various restaurants, the University Club here in Washington, where he was a member. Very entertaining, energetic guy, no nonsense, spoke with an inimitable accent, and frequently prefaced the word bastards with the phrase, "those Zionist bastards." That's the way Alfred talked, "those Zionist bastards." He was one of the great Jewish critics of Zionism, and he was a great humanitarian. There was, for a long time, a website up on the internet, alfredlilienthal.com. I'm assuming it's still there. I have to say I was quite honored back in around 94, 95, after Final Judgment came out. Dr. Lilienthal asked me to collaborate with him on his personal memoirs. He indicated, you know, I expressed surprise that he would, after all he had written, the probably millions of words he had written, that he would think that he would need someone to work with him. But as I recall, he said, well, he said, you know, I've written about the events of history, but writing about my life is another story altogether. Unfortunately, I was too busy at the time. Final Judgment had just come out. There was a lot of interest in the book. I was involved in efforts to promote the book, and I really just didn't have time, but it would have been a great honor, a privilege, and a real learning experience to work with Alfred Lilienthal on that. So God bless Alfred Lilienthal, ladies and gentlemen. Say a prayer for him. They called him a self-hating Jew and all sorts of other things, and accused him of being a convert to Islam, and it went on and on, but no. Alfred Lilienthal was a great guy. I think he's someone we can all consider a role model. Well, another old acquaintance of mine is in the news. I only ever met him a couple times, very briefly, when he visited the Spotlight office. Former OSS operative Douglas Bazzata. That's spelled B-A-Z-A-T-A. Well, Doug Bazzata is the guy who provided the Spotlight one of its most sensational stories. I was paid to kill Patton. Well, now Bazzata is the subject of a new book about his life in which it is stated flat out that, in fact, Doug Bazzata did kill Patton. Now, the story Doug Bazzata told the Spotlight, which we reprinted in a special book of great Spotlight stories, and which appeared in the Spotlight way back, I think, first in around 1970s, right after the Spotlight was established. The headline was, "I was paid to kill Patton," as I say, and Bazzata told us that he had been recruited by OSS Chief Wild Bill Donovan to kill Patton. However, according to Bazzata, in the story he told the Spotlight, he told Patton about the plot to kill him, but never followed through with it, but then said that someone did. Well, now this author, whose book has received some publicity in Britain, says that Bazzata confessed that, in fact, he did kill Patton. I don't think we'll ever really know the truth, ladies and gentlemen. To go back and forth on that, this guy's publishing the book after Doug Bazzata is dead, and he's been dead for several years now. And it could very well be that this author chose to sensationalize it and make it a full-fledged Bazzata confession. I don't know what to say, folks. I don't want to accuse this author, who I don't know anything about, of being disingenuous. I'm only telling you what Doug Bazzata told the Spotlight in detail. But be that as it may, there's a certain feeling of, we told you so, in that we did carry that story in the Spotlight way back when. For the record, the Patton family told people, some of our sources and other people, that they didn't believe the story. But, of course, our impression was that the Patton family didn't want to make it appear as though a member of their own family would be the subject of an assassination plot by members of his own government. Story was that Patton was about, according to the new book, the story was that Patton was about to blow the whistle on a deal between the U.S. government and the Soviets that led to the slaughter of some people, and I don't have the story handy. I do believe it was, I'm not sure who it was now. Forgive me for not having it in front of me, but in any case, the Patton family didn't want people to believe that there had been an assassination plot against the general. If you do a search on the internet of the name Bazata, B-A-Z-A-T-A, and Patton, obviously, P-A-T-T-O-N, probably Google News would have something about it. Certainly somewhere on the internet you'll find more about it. But needless to say, it was a story that first came out from the spotlight. Coincidentally, that brings up a JFK assassination-related item that I want to bring up in a minute, too, because as I've mentioned here, I've been trying to drop some little-known details about the Zionist connection to the JFK assassination. And something came up today just in reading about an hour ago that actually relates indirectly to the story regarding General Patton. Well, here in Washington, right there on the ellipse, U.S. taxpayer-owned property, White House Chief of Staff Joshua Bolton, a hardline Jewish Zionist, joined the American Friends of the Lubavitch for lighting the national menorah to start the mark the start of Hanukkah, which incidentally was never a very important Jewish holiday. But now this holiday, representing a military victory, is now considered a great holiday, and it's held up there right along with Christmas. But would they let you put a crucifix up on the National Mall at Easter time? I don't think so. They do let us put up a Christmas tree. But a Christmas tree is really not a religious symbol, as they often rush to assure us, and that's why they can have the Christmas tree. But the Hanukkah, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is. It is. It's a religious symbol. And I thought we had separation of church and state. Well, I guess we do have separation of church and state, but not separation of synagogue and state. If it sounds like you've heard this before, it's probably because you've been listening to this program, and I've said that every Christmas time since I've been broadcasting, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that's pointing that out. You're not allowed to have a creche, a nativity scene on the mall. Oh, my God, if you try to go up and put a creche, the police would come. The park police would come. The Secret Service would come. The D.C. police would come. They would throw you in jail. But no, we do have our menorah. And ladies and gentlemen, guess what? The menorah also happens to be the symbol of the state of, guess what? Not Indonesia, not Ireland, not Iceland, Israel. So we get a double fix there, ladies and gentlemen, a double whammy. We get a Jewish holiday, a Jewish religious holiday commemorated on taxpayer property. And we also get the symbol of the State of Israel right there on our taxpayer property. Oh, I guess it's okay, because after all, you know, the Jews are God's chosen people, and there was a Holocaust, and Hitler was the meanest man in the world, and what else? The Jews are great businessmen. Yeah, check out Wall Street. Check out Bernie Madoff. The Jews are, the smartest people in the world. They're superior to all other people genetically, according to Commentary, the publication of the American Jewish Committee. Yeah, okay, well, all right, it's all right. Let's have a Hanukkah on the National Mall. I guess it's okay. Forgive me for bringing it up. Someone might say I'm an anti-Semite, anti-Jewish, a Hitler apologist. Well, you can say that all you want, but I don't see how you can explain away the fact that our taxpayer dollars are being used to promote this orgy of political and religious frenzy, this celebration of war on our National Mall. It's an outrage, ladies and gentlemen, but then again, it really just says a lot about who really runs this country. Uh-oh, I said something I shouldn't have. Well, maybe the Jews don't run this country, ladies and gentlemen, but they sure do have a lot of clout. They sure do have a lot of clout. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. If this kind of discussion shocks you or offends you, as I always say, please, please, call in and complain, or else turn your radio down, turn your internet down, and wait till this broadcast is over. Then crank it back up and listen to more of RBN. But in the meantime, stay tuned and listen to our good sponsors out there. And during the break, why not send the late Christmas present off to RBN? Make a donation to this network.
Don't be a victim of sudden cardiac arrest due to inflammation of the arterial walls. Our hemp foods are anti-inflammatory and gluten-free and can greatly benefit the health of the human body. By calling 908-691-2608 or visiting hempusa.org, you can benefit from this wonderful natural food source. Our customers are also purchasing this natural food for long-term storage, camping, survival, and emergency food rations. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org today. HempUSA.org believes that now is the time to plan for the future, and food will be your greatest asset. People spend money on all kinds of things, but our warning is prepare now for food shortages in the future. So don't delay, call today, 908-691-2608, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Before we went to the break, I made that shocking suggestion that Jews are very powerful in the United States. And guess what? Guess what? I have somebody who agrees with me on that subject. No, he's not a Nazi. He's not an anti-Semite. He's a Jewish man named Avraham Berg, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, used to be the Speaker of the Israeli Knesset. He's certainly one of the most prominent men in Israel, has held numerous positions in the Israeli government, and was a son of an early Israeli pioneer. And in his new book with the provocative title, just published in English, The Holocaust is Over, We Must Rise from Its Ashes, Mr. Berg, whose last name is spelled Berg, writes as follows. And I wish Aryan from California was listening. And I certainly hope that those who say that Piper exaggerates Jewish power in this country, as many of our listeners do believe and do say, I want to read what he says. He says, Jews hold stunningly powerful positions and clout in the United States. Stunningly powerful positions and clout in the United States, he says. The combination of the American state's power and the Jewish power in the areas of legislation, administration, media, law, business, culture, and entertainment have made the Jews a defining factor of contemporary America. Because Israel is inseparable from the identity of American Jews, Israel is inseparable from the American experience. That's very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. That's what Abraham Berg says, and I'm going to have more to say about his book. But that having been said, I want to relate to you an interesting conversation I had with a friend of mine today. He knows better. This is not the big shot lawyer I'm talking about. This is actually a journalist friend of mine. And I mentioned to him the overwhelming Jewish nature of the Bernie Madoff scandal. And he huffed and puffed and made little spitting noises and grunted and moaned and cried at the other end of the phone. And I said, oh, you dispute that. And then I pointed out to him that in the Washington Post, Jim Hoagland, who is incidentally is a member of the Bilderberg Group, a regular attendee of Bilderberg, he writes in his column that Madoff was once affectionately known as, quote, the Jewish T-bill for his ability to generate guaranteed returns until his Ponzi scheme collapsed. And then I pointed out another article in the Washington Post, which notes that in the Washington area, local losses in the Madoff collapse run high. Quote, mostly in the region's Jewish community. Goes on at length talking about this. And then, of course, we even find the New York Times on Saturday, December 20th, in a very long article about Mr. Madoff. Very long article detailing his ventures. They refer to the clubby world of Jewish philanthropy in the New York area. They talk about him building a network of trust that began to stretch wider and deeper into the Jewish community. Up even in Hopkins, Minnesota, known for a prosperous Jewish membership there at the Oak Ridge Country Club. The quiet message became familiar in similar pockets of Jewish wealth. Goes on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the New York Times. This is not the New York Times here we're quoting. We're not this is the New York Times we're quoting, not the Nazi Weekly, not the Islamic Times. But what's very, very interesting, you know, we're hearing all this crying and moaning, the suggestions that perhaps this horrible, horrible event, this financial event that has rocked the Jewish community. Oh, my God, the new Holocaust, perhaps. Len Fisher writes in the Washington Times, Washington Post, he says, was it all Madoff's fault? He says, I contend that the losses would have been less severe and might not have occurred at all if many of Madoff's investors had not been cast from the same mold that Madoff was. The facts should have been enough to make anyone suspicious. His business returns were consistently good, too good. Let's be honest, such oddities had to have set off alarm bells. So why did so many professionals continue to invest with him? Only one answer makes sense. Some of those investors must have suspected that he was a cheat, but continued to invest because they thought they were benefiting from that cheating. In other words, they took him for a different sort of cheat from whom he was, one who was using information gained from his market-making operation to earn illegal profits, rather than one who was operating a breathtakingly audacious Ponzi scheme. In other words, they thought he was a crook, but he was their crook. And by continuing to invest with Madoff under this belief, those institutional investors became complicit in that cheating. In fact, they became cheats themselves, but without being aware of all that can happen once two parties become involved in a mutual cheating game. This is a very harsh indictment of those many wealthy Jewish Americans and other Jewish investors, not to mention certain investors in the Middle East as well, Arab investors, who evidently thought that because Mr. Madoff was Jewish and because he had such support in the expansive, and I say expansive, not expensive, in the expansive Jewish community across the country, Jewish communities across the country, ranging from New York to Palm Beach, they thought they could get away with it. But the whole house of cards collapsed. Serious indictment there, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. You know, last week or so, I upset some of the conservative Republicans by criticizing the Republicans in Congress who were suggesting that members of the United Auto Workers, America's domestic workers, were being too greedy by expecting higher salaries at a time when the auto workers are there. I should say the auto companies are in the face of collapse. The Associated Press points out banks that are getting taxpayer bailouts awarded their top executives nearly $1.6 billion in salaries, bonuses, and other benefits last year. The rewards came even at banks where poor results last year foretold the economic crisis that sent them to Washington for a government rescue. Some trimmed their executive compensation because of lagging bank performance, but still forked over multi-million dollar executive pay packages. Well, yeah, that's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. The big financial interests get away with murder. The workers get screwed. Back to the Doug Bezzata story for a moment. Well, I'll come back to that in a moment. Interesting. They're talking about Caroline Kennedy for the U.S. Senate in New York for Hillary Clinton's seat. And a lot of people are suddenly saying, oh, my God, we don't have royalty. Family name entitlement is not a qualification for the U.S. Senate. Why is it all of a sudden when they're getting ready to put Caroline Kennedy, who is probably just as qualified to serve in the U.S. Senate just on the basis, you know, of her family connections, And her own, you know, she's a journalist. She's written several books. Yeah, I guess I'm biased because I've written several books. She's been involved in a lot of public affairs. She's a woman of dignity, or so she appears to be. But all of a sudden, here in this country where for years, not just the Kennedys, but many, many other families have passed on Senate and House seats, all of a sudden they're raising hell about, a lot of people are raising hell about Caroline Kennedy. Gary Ackerman, this Irish congressman from New York, no, he's not an Irishman, ladies and gentlemen, he's been bellyaching about it. Nat Hentoff complaining about it. Why all of a sudden are they upset about Caroline Kennedy? Now, if you look in the House of Representatives today, I don't know how many members of the House are the sons and daughters of previous members of the House who gave up their seats, who died, who retired, made it possible for their children to succeed them. Oh, I think I know why it is, and I think it goes right back to that topic that I've been talking, the Kennedy assassination. I don't think they ever want any more Kennedys around to cause any trouble for them. And if Caroline Kennedy got in the United States Senate, she would have immense clout as a member of the United States Senate. You know, here in this day and age when we tout feminism and here Caroline Kennedy comes from a great liberal family. She's a daughter of President Kennedy, the niece of Bobby Kennedy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now all of a sudden the mass media, which has always made it possible for members of Congress to slide their children in as their successors, all of a sudden they don't want Caroline Kennedy in there. I find that interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Now, back to Doug Bezetta. According to this new book, Patton was threatening to quit the Army and denounce Supreme Allied Commander General Dwight D. Eisenhower, once his junior and close friend, who he believed had made a deal with the Soviets to stop him racing them to Berlin. This left hundreds of thousands of German troops free to escape to kill U.S. troops in the Battle of the Bulge and let the Russians take Eastern Europe. Resulted in the loss of 19,000 GI lives. Kind of interesting. I'm sure it's absolutely true. And that brings us to the Kennedy assassination. Now, you know, a lot of these writers, these liberal writers on the Kennedy assassination, who have correctly linked Clay Shaw of New Orleans, subject of Oliver Stone's film JFK, to the circumstances, they often suggest that Shaw was part of a Nazi plot. Part of the reason why they say Shaw was part of a Nazi plot was because he was an aide-de-camp to General Charles Thrasher, who apparently was part of the military group that expedited the transfer of many former Nazi officers into American intelligence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the proof that Clay Shaw was part of some sort of Nazi connection. But listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. I just discovered this evening in Joan Mellon's very good book about Jim Garrison. Her name is spelled M-E-L-L-E-N. Her book is entitled A Farewell to Justice. Very, very convincing argument that Jim Garrison was indeed on the right track. She doesn't get into the Mossad connection, of course, but she does thoroughly get through the CIA connection and pretty much makes it very, very clear that Clay Shaw was indeed linked in some way to the circumstances surrounding the assassination. Well, it turns out this General Thrasher was in charge of transferring German prisoners of war to the French. Thrasher was a man of such cruel disposition that he horrified the French liaison officer. Appalled by Thrasher's callous treatment of the German prisoners in his charge, Major William Height swore out a deposition against him for the inhumane means by which he handled and transferred the Germans, who were being starved to death and were in a condition, quote, worse than the former German concentration camps. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Clay Shaw, the Nazi, so-called, was the aide-de-camp to the general who was abusing the hell out of German prisoners of war to the point that a fellow American officer filed a complaint against him. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, just another little light on history that really puts away the theory that Shaw was part of a Nazi plot to kill John F. Kennedy. Something else very, very interesting, too, that is revealed in Joan Mellon's book. Going back to the 1950s, Clay Shaw was a vocal critic of General Nasser of Egypt. Now, that all stands to reason when we look at Clay Shaw's later connections to the Stern family of New Orleans, who were investors in a new nuclear plant from which American materiel was smuggled to Israel for its nuclear weapons program. This family, the Stern family, who financed Clay Shaw's defense under Jim Garrison's investigation. We, of course, find Clay Shaw on the board of Permandex, chaired by Louis Bloomfield, who, along with the Bronfman family, was one of the major financiers behind Israel's nuclear weapons program. Hardly a Nazi, ladies and gentlemen, hardly a Nazi. Well, speaking of Israel, as we often speak, headline in the Washington Post, Israeli candidates vow to bring down Hamas. The top candidates for Israel's prime ministership vowed Sunday to topple Hamas. Livni, who heads the centrist Kadima Party, said her government's strategic objective would be to topple the Hamas regime. Benjamin Netanyahu, her main rival for the premiership, said, in the short term, there are a wide range of possibilities, from doing nothing to doing everything, meaning to conquer Gaza. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the two top candidates for Israel's premiership are vowing to wipe the democratically elected government of Hamas off the map. Isn't that what they always say Ahmadinejad has threatened to do to Israel? They're always saying he's threatening to destroy Israel. Well, now the Israelis are threatening to destroy Hamas. Shouldn't we be upset about that, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that a threat of genocide? Can we understand now why, perhaps, Hamas may have a desire to strike against Israel? Israel is threatening to wipe them off the map. The democratically elected government of the Palestinian people, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as you know, I don't take any position between Fatah and Hamas, but Hamas was elected by the Palestinian people. We're always told we want democracy in the Middle East, and when we have democracy in the Middle East and the parties that the Israelis don't like come to power, they want to wipe them off the face of the earth. They want to wipe them off the map. If I were a member of Hamas, ladies and gentlemen, I would strike at Israel. I would strike at Israel, ladies and gentlemen, because it's called self-defense. We have people vowing to destroy them, to topple them. Absolute vow. So I don't want to hear any supporters of Israel bitching and moaning and complaining about Ahmadinejad's alleged threats to wipe Israel off the map, because now Israel is threatening to wipe Hamas off the map. Very simple, folks. All right, let's go to the phones. We've got Brian in Pennsylvania. Brian, come on up.
Hi, Mike.
How's it going up there, Brian?
It's cold like it is down where you're at.
I'll bet it is.
When you mentioned the Joan Mellon book,
mm-hmm.
That always triggers a phone call, because that's such a good book. People should
yes.
really read that book. You know, yeah, she doesn't get into the Mossad thing except about that Beckham guy. Who turned out to be a rabbi in his
right,
life.
Right, okay.
But, mm-hmm. You know, but mm-hmm. that's a really good book. But I wanted to ask you, I just finished reading Russell's book on Nagel.
Right, very interesting book, The Man Who Knew Too Much, yeah.
The Man Who Knew Too Much. That's a good book, too. Now, he skirts around things, too, but I always thought, and I'd like your opinion, that Angleton is really so deeply linked into that whole deal, especially when that Russian defector, Nishenko,
mm-hmm,
he
mm-hmm.
came out and said, you know, basically that the USSR at the time, KGB, et cetera, had nothing to do with it. Well, Angleton wouldn't deal with that. That was not acceptable, you know.
Angleton's fingerprints his footprints, his tongue print. I mean, whatever you want to say. Angleton was involved in the JFK assassination up to the crown of his head.
I agree completely.
Yeah, and that's one value of Dick Russell's book, because he makes that very, very clear. Although he doesn't, you know, his attempt in that book is to flesh out all of the things that this guy, Richard Nagel, told him and try to put it in some sort of context. But, you know, I found out something very interesting in Joan Mellon's book, which I had forgotten about, but I saw it again here tonight. I was just flipping through it for a little while before the show. Evidently, when Jim Garrison was conducting his investigation, someone brought up the name of James Angleton, and Garrison had no idea who Angleton was. Now, in retrospect, we know all about Angleton and what he was up to, but it's very, very interesting. People never heard of Angleton publicly until about 1975, when he testified before a U.S. Senate. And oddly enough, a very, very good friend of mine happened to be there for that testimony, and he said it was one of the spookiest things he'd ever seen. Angleton, for years, told people that he was a employee of the post office, when in fact he was the number three man in the CIA and ran a Mossad desk and was in charge of counterintelligence. And the whole thing with Angleton is something that's a whole story that so many people have written about, and yet I don't think we'll ever really get to the bottom of it. But Angleton was involved in the Kennedy assassination, number one,
up
and he was also involved in the attack on the USS Liberty.
I think that I read in Russell's book that Angleton was recruiting in Palestine in 1948.
Angleton was connected to the Lansky Syndicate. His connections were just extraordinary. He had intimate connections to all the key players involved in one form or another. This guy, it was his office in the CIA that was in, John Newman of the University of Maryland, his book, Oswald and the CIA, he makes it very, very clear that it was Angleton's office that was keeping the secret files on Lee Harvey Oswald all those years. So Oswald was a known factor, I could go on about that, but needless to say, that's right. The name Angleton is so inextricably linked to all of the key circumstances, you can't get away from it.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I have in my hand the a book, Final Judgment. I just want to read something about Hunt that comes up from page 557 of the latest edition. And I'm just going to like verify what you're saying here. I'm quoting you here. It says, "I'm afraid too many people will be ready to believe anything Hunt says simply because he is who he is. So let's be careful about believing what Hunt might say." And I think Hunt was like a minor spook. He wasn't anywhere near Angleton's deviousness. Angleton was the spook.
Exactly. In fact, it appears as though, and I go into that in Final Judgment, the evidence indicates, at least, and this is based on research that Dick Russell has done and other things that I've come up with, the evidence indicates that it was actually Hunt was reporting to Angleton, and that it was actually Angleton who sent Hunt to Dallas several days before the Kennedy assassination. And so Hunt was down there not consciously part of an attempt to assassinate John F. Kennedy, I don't think. But he was down there involved in something that involved Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby, and Frank Sturgis. And then the assassination happened, and Hunt said, "Oh, my God." Because like many, many other people in the CIA and in all and many, many other places, they discovered that they had been manipulated into the web of conspiracy surrounding Lee Harvey Oswald. And then when Oswald was pinned as the patsy in the assassination, all of these people had to get the hell out of Dodge, or Dallas in this case.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and now, of course, what Hunt's son is passing off as a confession And I've commented on this, and anybody can look at those tapes that appear on YouTube. It's hardly a confession.
Well, and Howard Hunt was not a power broker. He was a follower.
He was a facilitator. He was someone, exactly.
Yeah, somebody was giving him orders, and, I mean, they were going to dangle him out to dry, I think, for a while, possibly.
That's exactly what was happening when this information, in fact, the story that Hunt was in Dallas on the day of the assassination, that story was leaked to the spotlight through a former CIA officer. It was leaked to the spotlight by a guy named Robert Corson, or maybe it was William Corson. The name, first name escapes me. William Corson, C-O-R-S-O-N. Corson was a longtime associate of Angleton. Angleton was the guy who was hanging E. Howard Hunt out to dry.
I think so.
That's just the way it is. And I'm sorry for St. John Hunt. He's trying to make a buck on his father's alleged involvement, but there's a lot more to the story. Brian, thanks for that call. Appreciate it. All right, folks, stay tuned. We'll be able to squeeze in one more caller when we come back.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
All right, folks, we're wrapping it up. We can squeeze in one more caller, and apologies to those we couldn't get up here tonight. We're going to go to Massachusetts with the inimitable Dave, almost as inimitable as Alfred Lilienthal.
Merry classical anti-Semitism.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, as Jim Tucker said in this week's American Free Press.
Hey, Michael, I posted some classical anti-Semitism for Christmas, some Christmas classical anti-Semitism web blog at daveformassachusetts.wordpress.com.
I'll have to check it out, Dave.
I have two articles posted. One is The Ghost from Christmas Past, and the other, the one that's really real classical anti-Semitism is the essay entitled God.
That's short and sweet, the title, anyway.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, Michael, I'm at work and I have to run, but I think it'll bless people if they read those that classical anti-Semitism. I'd like to wish any of our good Jewish listeners out there a happy Hanukkah. I know you reap what you sow. So, you know, if we wish them a happy Hanukkah, they'll wish us a Merry Christmas. But usually that law of sowing and reaping doesn't apply with the Jews, because we've sown so much goodness into the Jewish people and we've reaped such a bitter harvest of evil from them.
Somebody actually wished me a Merry Christmas today. I was rather shocked, considering the fact that, I stopped in a jewelry store to get a new battery in my watch, and the Jewish proprietor actually wished me a Merry Christmas, and I said, "Same to you." I guess he's not afraid to say Christmas.
Right. Yeah. I wish him everybody a Merry Christmas. And in other words, just because you're Jewish, it doesn't mean you have to have a miserable Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas. You know, it's kind of like St. Paddy's Day. Everybody's Irish on St. Paddy's Day.
That's right. Nothing wrong with everybody being a Christian on Christmas.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ wasn't such a bad guy, if I'm to believe the New Testament.
Huh?
I say, if I'm to believe the New Testament, Jesus Christ was not such a bad guy, so I don't see a problem with celebrating his birthday,
Michael,
or at least the symbolic celebration of his birthday. Although I know a lot of our Christian friends out there don't approve of Christmas because they say it's a pagan holiday, but that's another argument for another time.
Hey, I sent you a book. You should be receiving it. It's Christmas Reconsidered. It's an excellent book. But hey, I just close with this, Michael, and then I got to run. But I'd like people to think about this. Now, even, you know, and this is to the Jewish people now, or the Jewish listeners. Now, okay, even if Jesus isn't the Messiah and everything and so on, he was an innocent man. But now my contention is, Michael, that Jesus, even this Christmas today, Jesus is just as sweet and innocent after all these centuries as he was when he was in that manger on that first Christmas night. So, you know, I wish the Jewish people wouldn't still try to eliminate the Christ child. He never did anything wrong to you people. He never did anything wrong. I mean, even if you don't believe he's the Messiah, you should apologize. And for crucifying an innocent man.
Yeah, maybe to counter that menorah on the mall, maybe we should put up a crucifix.
Hey,
of course, I don't feel like getting arrested, so I'll leave that up to somebody else. Dave, thanks for your call.
Folks,
stay tuned for more good programming here at republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, my name is